Has somebody ever given you something, maybe an item to hold, or they said, "Hey, this is mine. I really want you to take care of it for me," or "I'm entrusting this to you." And then what happened was maybe some time had gone by and you had kind of gotten used to the fact that whatever that thing was that they entrusted you with, you kind of felt more like it was yours. And even if they wanted it back or wanted to use it for something, it kind of got you a little bit right here because you kind of got to the point where you felt like that thing belonged to you rather than that other person. Well, today we're going to take a look at one of the other parables that we read about in God's Word. It's going to be in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. It is the parable of the talents, and we're going to take a look at faithful stewardship. So grab your Bible, come on back. We'll be here in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church at Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I hope everything is going well with you. I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. We're going to be looking at the parable of the talents, and we're going to be looking at faithful stewardship. This is one of the things that we have to define very, very often because when we think about stewardship, there's a lot of things that come to mind. If you look at it from a church context, most people will look at it from a monetary standpoint. But stewardship really is where somebody has given you the responsibility of something that belongs to them. You know, are you being a faithful steward? And it's not just money. There are several other things that go along with that. You know, stewardship has several different areas along the way. We're just going to talk about one of those in particular today and give you an example. Now remember, we're taking a look at the parables. The parables were the stories that Jesus told to those who were his followers that gave them a biblical concept. The story was something they could relate to help drive home the point of a biblical concept. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, faithful stewardship. So as you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and we're going to begin reading at verse 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, beginning with verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And the one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Verse 16, then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Verse 20, so he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back mine own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For whoever has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful for the fact that your Holy Spirit teaches us through your word. Father, today I pray that as we look at this particular parable that we can understand very easily, just like those that you taught it to. Lord, I pray that we will be able to make application to our lives. And Lord, I pray that we truly will hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So Lord, teach us today, convict our hearts where correction is needed. And Lord, I pray for these moments that you would use me as your messenger, that you and you alone truly would be the one that is lifted up. So bless our time that we'll spend together today, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we see that story. This is probably a story that many of you have heard along the way. You've heard it called the parable of the talents. But one of the things I really want us to be able to do today is, as we make application to this in our own personal lives, we need to recognize our entrusted resources. You know, we can see a lot of this, and we'll get into it in just a moment. But, you know, first of all, we have to consider the master's trust. It says that he had five servants. Look with me again at verse 14, because verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." Now, I want to point something out. I had this written down in my Bible, but at the bottom I had pointed out a note. When we think about a talent, this should make this even more powerful than before. But the note I jotted down says that a talent was a monetary unit, and it was worth about 20 years' wages for a laborer. So think about that. One talent was worth about 20 years' worth of wages for a laborer. So look at it like this. I mean, what would you say if somebody came and handed you 20 years' worth of your annual salary and said, "Hey, look, you know, I'm going on a far journey. I want you to look after this for me." So we're not talking about just little bits of money. We are talking about a very substantial amount of money. So the master had a lot of trust in those servants that he was turning this over to. Now, the same holds true today. When we think about talents, most often we talk about the varied and several abilities that God has given us to be used for his honor and for his glory. But you have to think about the trust that God has placed in each and every one of us with what he has given us. We mentioned earlier that there are many, many talents. It's not just monetary, although that's part of it. There are some people that God has entrusted with a financial plethora, as it were. And he expects them to use those finances for him when it comes time that he has something that he puts on the heart of that person to be used for his honor, for his glory. We have to remember it's all his. None of it is ours. And too many times we get to thinking, "Well, this is ours. I'll do with it what I want to do, and I'm going to do what's in my best interest." So, you know, when we look at this particular parable, we first see that the master had a lot of trust for those that he had presented his wealth to before he departed on his journey. Now, this trust indicates that the master has confidence in those servants' abilities. You know, God entrusts us, you and I, with talents and resources with the expectation that we will use them wisely. Did you get that? There is an expectation. With what God gives us by way of talents, there is an expectation that we use them for his honor and for his glory. So I want you to think for just a moment. I want you to reflect on the resources and the talents that God has entrusted you with. Think about it for a moment. Most of us could probably call at least one thing right off of the top of our head and say, yeah, God's given me a talent in this area. And he's wanting me to use this for his honor, for his glory. So let me ask you today, how are you managing that talent or those talents in your daily life? I'm talking about each and every day. Now, as we consider those things, as far as individuals, we're not all created equal. I know that a lot of people want to say that when it comes down to our varied abilities, as it were. Now, don't get me wrong. When I say we're not created equal, I'm talking about our varied ability. So let's go to verse 15 for just a second, because it says, as the master began to give these resources or entrust these resources to his servants, verse 15 says, "And to one he gave five talents." And that was 5 years worth or 5 annual salaries of that particular servant. It says, "To another two and to another one." And he says, "To each according to his own ability." And immediately he went on a journey. He didn't give them all the same amount, okay? The master distributes resources based on each servant's ability. And God has given us those abilities, and He knows what they are. You know, in other words, you know, there are some who are going to be five-talent people. There are going to be some that are two-talent people, and there are going to be some that are going to be one-talent people. But the bottom line is all of us have at least one. And see, God recognizes our individual capacities, and He entrusts us accordingly. And when He does that, He does so expecting us to work with our capabilities, all right? In other words, what He's given you, He expects you to work within that realm. Now, as you think about that for a moment, we need to acknowledge and we need to develop our unique talents and resources. So my question for you today is, are you utilizing your resources, your talents and abilities to their fullest potential? And that doesn't mean that you're really, really good at what you do right out of the gate. I mean, nobody is. There are times that we work on honing those talents and abilities and skills that we will become exactly what it is that God wants us to be. But you understand, there is an expectation. When God gives that to you, there is an expectation. So there's also an accountability when it comes down to stewardship. Now, a lot of times people don't like accountability, but the bottom line is that we always do better when we know that somebody else is watching us. Now, let me carry you down to verse 19 of our text. Because in verse 19 it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. There is a time for accountability that is going to come when the master returns. Are you picking up the parallel there? You know, God has given us all talents and abilities, and someday we are going to stand before Him and we are going to give Him an account for how we managed those resources, how we managed those talents, how we managed those abilities for His honor, for His glory. Because listen, we know how this story went on. You know, essentially he went to settle accounts, and we know that it said to the one that he gave five, you know, we know it said he came back and he said, you gave me five, I had 10. So in other words, he doubled his, the same with the other. Now we're going to get into that in just a moment, but there is going to be a time of accountability for what God's given you. Listen, if he's given you the ability to teach, he is going to hold you accountable to that. When you stand before him, he's going to say, listen, let's talk about the Sunday school classes you taught. Let's talk about the Bible studies you led. Let's talk about those. How did you use that resource that I gave you, that talent that I gave you for my honor, for my glory? Not for your honor, for your glory, but for my honor and for my glory. I have a feeling that there's going to be a whole lot of people going to be standing there looking at their toes kicking the ground because what they did was they used what God gave them for their own personal gain. Okay, but the bottom line is that there is a time for accountability that is going to come when the master returns. So, you know, listen, if you're listening to my voice and you're hearing it today, it's not too late, but I will tell you that it is time to get busy because you are going to be accountable for what it is that God has given you. And the accountability is going to be for how you used it for the sake of the kingdom, not for your own personal gain. Okay, see, our stewardship is going to be tested, and we are accountable for how we manage what has been given to us. That is a simple statement. If you can remember that, if you can think about that even on a daily basis, then you're going to go far because you're going to be held accountable every single day for what God's given you and how you use it for the kingdom. So we need to live with the awareness that we're accountable. That God is going to come someday and we're going to stand face to face with Him. And if that's you, then listen, set some goals. Make it personal. Set some goals that reflect faithful management of the resources that God has given you. And some people sit back all the time and, well, they'll look at others and they'll say, well, that guy's got all kinds of talent, man. I'll tell you, if I had what he had, I would be doing this, that, or the other thing. Well, you have to also understand that to whom much is given, much is required. You are responsible for how you use those. You know what? If God gave you one talent, then you use that talent and glory for His honor and for the kingdom's sake. And I promise you, you will hear the same words that of those that had the five or the ten. You'll hear the term, well done, good and faithful servant. Be faithful with what God has given you. So one of the things that we also want to look at in this particular parable today is the faithful and diligent service, and the fact that there is a reward for that. Now, let me carry you down to verse 21, because verse 21 says this. It says, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Now, the servant who effectively used his talent is rewarded and rewarded generously. Did you notice that? That as we go through this particular parable, the one who had the five came back and he had five more. Now, let me remind you once again that a talent was equal to 20 years' wages for somebody, all right? That's, if you go do your research, that's what it's going to tell you. So he brings back this just pile of money, and he said, "Hey, you left me with five talents. I'm bringing you back five more." And what happened was he was rewarded generously. Now, people would sit back and say, well, he did this for the master, but it's very interesting that what we see as we get down to the end of this Bible study was that particularly with the one who had his taken away, it was given to the one who had ten, which meant that the servant didn't exactly take all that directly back to him. He rewarded the faithful servant with it, okay? Faithful service to God results in his approval, and it also results in greater responsibility in his kingdom. Because did you notice what he said? He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." In other words, it doesn't just end here on earth. You know, when we go into the kingdom, there are some kingdom advantages to being a faithful servant. So you and I need to strive for faithfulness in all tasks that we do, whether they're large tasks, whether they're small tasks. When we do them, we need to do them knowing that they contribute to the kingdom of God, no matter what it may be. You know, I've said before that my ministry career basically got started because an usher in my home church that we always called the Candy Man asked me if I would catch the short aisle to be an usher over on the little small aisle. And then it was interesting that I worked my way up to the center aisle. And I was proud to do that. But you know what? I was using what I could do for the Lord. Now, that's a small illustration, and I give you that because I can't tell you how many people sit back to me and say, "Well, I just don't have any talent." Sure you do. If you can shake somebody's hand, if you can welcome them, if you can take up the offering, and I'm talking about things pretty much that you would see around a church, but it's even more so than that. Maybe God's blessed you financially. I sit back and think of here not too long ago, the devastation that happened in Western North Carolina with the hurricane and the flooding and all the things that took place there, and how I've watched people step up and they have given of themselves. They've given monetarily. They've given of items that they have out of compassion for those who have not. And God is going to bless for that. You know, these people aren't even going to know who they're receiving these goods and items from, but maybe someday in the kingdom they will. So now, as we also look at this, you know, we think about discipleship. One of the things I love when I talk about discipleship is that discipleship is not about addition, but it's about multiplication, okay? And there is a principle of multiplication that we find in this particular text as well. Let me take you down to verses 22 and 23. It says this. It says, "He who had received the two talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me two talents. I have gained two more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.'" So the servant that had the two bags, let's just call it gold for the sake of our Bible study, the servant that had two bags of gold also gained more by using what he was entrusted with. You know, too many times we feel like, "Oh, well, if I use this, I'm going to use it all up." I will promise you that if God has granted you a talent or ability, you will not be able to use it up. You're in far more danger by not using that talent or ability for his honor and for his glory. It's more dangerous not to use it than it would be to try to use it up or use it to death, as they say. But you'll notice that in this particular passage, both of the servants, the one with the five bags of gold, the one with the two bags of gold, gained more by using what they had. And it's very interesting what God said, particularly to the final servant that we'll get to here in just a moment, but I want you to hold that thought for just a second. You see, God's design is for us to multiply what we have through diligent action and service. What He's given us, in other words, there can be more. Now, that's not for selfish gain. That is for kingdom gain. And when we start looking at it from selfish gain, we're looking at it from the completely wrong perspective. Because you always have to remember, all good things come from the Father. You know, your automobile is not yours, it's God's. Your home, it's God's. Your bank account, your family, everything belongs to God. We are just being entrusted as stewards of it, okay? So when God wants to use it, oftentimes he will put us in the path of people that need us to use our gifts, talents, and abilities to bring them to kingdom knowledge or to salvation or assistance or whatever the case may be. And we need to today to seek to multiply our impact and our resources. Think about it for a minute. So if I were to ask you a question, in what way can you use your talents to produce fruit, what would you say? Now, since this is a broadcast and you can't answer me, you can certainly answer the Holy Spirit who is sitting there listening to you right now saying, yeah, I'm asking you that question too. How can you use your talents and abilities to produce fruit? And I'm talking about the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay? Now, as we kind of continue through our text, one of the things that we find out is that there is a consequence for inaction. And this is what we were talking about, the one with the one talent. Let's go to verses 24 through 26. It says, "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back mine own with interest.'" Now, that's a very, very important point when you think about it. So let's kind of observe that passage for just a moment. You see, the servant who fails to act is rebuked by the master in this particular text. You know, so complacency and fear lead to missed opportunities and negative consequences. Now, when we look at this guy with the one talent, he's sitting there saying, "Well, I only had one and I was afraid." He actually says that in the text. What is it that the Lord tells us? He said, "I have not given you the spirit of fear." Okay? So if the Lord didn't give it to us, where did it come from? Okay? That answered your question right there. So complacency as well. Sometimes people are like, "Well, I'm afraid, you know, if I use this, I'm afraid I may lose it. And then when the master comes back, I have nothing to show for and nothing to answer for." Sometimes it's simple complacency. Well, okay, I got this. And we don't look twice at it. We're too busy being caught up in the day and the times and society and whatever else. But I will promise you that one day, if you're in that area of complacency, the Lord is going to stand before you and you are going to answer for those talents or talent that He has given you. Now remember, if you don't utilize those things, what is the result of that? Missed opportunities as well as negative consequences. Okay, now the interesting part about this was what the master said to him. Now I want to carry you back for just a minute. Now we don't know how the one with five talents made five more. We don't know how the one who had the two talents received two more in addition to that. But we do know what the master said. The one that didn't do anything, he said he went out and he hid it in the ground. But notice what he said in verse 27. He said, "So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back mine own with interest." Now, if this guy didn't want to do anything else, if he would have just simply taken that money, taken it down, put it in the bank, it would have at least drawn some interest. So there would have been something besides exactly what the master gave him. There would have been something in addition to just the one. The way it is now, he just returned him exactly what he gave him. And even the master is the one that said, look, man, this was easy. Even if you'd have just taken it down and put it in a bank, it would have gained some interest and you could have given me back what was mine plus the interest. But you didn't even do that. You know, today, folks, we need to challenge ourselves to overcome our fears. We need to overcome what it is that is holding us back from being all that God wants us to be by using our talents and abilities. Are there areas in your life where you need to take some action today? And by the way, if you're listening to this, this is not something in most cases that is new to you. This is something that the Holy Spirit has been prompting your heart about for quite some time. The question is, are you going to put the fear aside? Are you going to take the step? Are you going to be what God wants you to be with what He has given you? Are you going to exercise those talents and abilities for the sake of the kingdom? Now, in telling you that, there's also another point that we see in our parable today, and that's the fact that there are eternal there's an eternal perspective when it comes down to stewardship. Remember, we're talking about stewardship. Something somebody else has given you to manage or maintain for them. In this case, we're talking about God. But here's the bottom line. There is a final judgment that is coming. Now, let me carry you down to verses 28 to 30. We already know what happened with the one that had the five talents. He made 10. You know, the one that had two made four. The one that just was given one had just given the one back. So down in verse 28, here's what he says. He says, therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. You see, the servant's management of resources has eternal consequences. That it's not just for this particular example in the Bible. The same is true for you and I, okay? This parable illustrates that our earthly stewardship has implications in the eternal realm, not just in the here and now, but in the eternal realm also. You know, so today, yeah, man, I'm preaching pretty hard to you. When you think about the talents and abilities that God has given you, are you faithfully using them for Him, not you? Some of you just got stuck right there because you're like, well, you know, I know God's blessed me financially, but I'm not using it for Him, or I'm not using it in the way He wants me to. Maybe the Lord has given you a teaching ability. Are you teaching for Him? Maybe God has given you a musical ability. Are you singing or playing for Him? Or is it all for your own personal gain, that you might gain something from it, okay? That's not good. That's not why God gave that to you. He gave it to you to use for Him. So what we need to do is we need to cultivate an eternal perspective in our everyday decisions and in the things that we do. Are you investing your time and your resources with eternity in mind? Not just the here and now, but with eternity in mind. Now, down in verse 30, we see something else. He was entrusted for even greater service. Look with me at verse 30. Verse 30 says, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, the servant's poor stewardship resulted in loss of opportunity for greater service. Not only did he not get to keep, and like I said, I was telling you before, it's interesting that when you read that last few passages, it says, the one that had one, he said, take it away from him and give it to the one that now has 10. So what happened was, they were, you know, the one that had 10, he started off with 5. He got 5 more, now has 10. Then the one was taken away from the one that was unfaithful, and it was given to the one that had the 10. In other words, he's saying, you know what? You have managed the gifts, talents, and abilities that I've given you well. I'm going to give you more. And listen, if God can't trust you with what He's already given you, why would He ever give you any more? Okay, so in this case, the steward's poor stewardship resulted in a loss of opportunity for greater service. He at least had one, now he has nothing. You see, failing to use our gifts proactively may prevent us from experiencing God's fullness in this life as well as in beyond, as well in all of eternity. You know, he says we have to live in the here and now. He says we have to live in the world, but not of the world. God wants to bless us while we're here in the world, but these things not only have present tense importance in our lives, but they have eternal significance on the other side. So the question is, do we seek opportunities for service that align with God's purpose that we can use our talents and abilities for? Can you serve God and others with your talents? Are you doing that? I like what verse 21 says when it said, "Enter thou into the joy of your Lord." You know, come and share in your master's happiness. That's basically what that's saying. You see, the good and faithful servants are invited to share in the joy of the master. You see, faithfully serving, faithfully stewarding or managing God's resources brings us into a closer relationship with Him, sharing in His joy and sharing in His glory. So listen, you know what we can do? We can engage in activities that bring joy to the Lord, okay? Are you finding joy in your service? Are you finding joy in being that steward of what God has entrusted you with? Man, I'll tell you one thing. When you're doing that, God will just fill your heart with joy like you've never seen before. So as we wrap things up for our Bible study today, the parable of the talents reminds us of the sacred responsibility of stewardship. We are entrusted with specific resources, and they're all different with each and every one of us, but we're entrusted with specific resources with the expectation, big word, expectation that God will use them diligently for God's glory and for His service. Now, reflecting on our eternal perspective, accountability, you know, we're encouraged to strive for faithful stewardship in all aspects of our life, not just some aspects, but in all aspects of our lives. Now, as faithful servants, can we seek God's approval by multiplying His gifts and sharing in His divine joy? Can you commit today to using your God-given talents purposefully? And when I say purposefully, I'm talking about doing it with meaning. I like this term that I've heard used before when somebody says, well, do you purpose to do that? In other words, did I do that on purpose? Did I sit back and say, yeah, this is what God's given me as a talent and ability, and here are ways I'm going to use these things for His honor and for His glory in each and every day of my life? Can you do that? Can you commit today to saying, look, I realize these are talents that come from God. I'm going to use them for His honor and glory. Listen, maybe you've messed up in the past. That's okay. God has, through repentance, there's forgiveness, and God will give you another chance, and you will see Him take. Maybe I hope and pray that all of a sudden your talents increase. They multiply because you've been faithful in using them. So I'm going to pray with you just to that end here in just a moment, but I want to tell you what our Bible reading for this particular week is. This week we're actually going to be reading Matthew's Gospel chapter 18, and next week we're going to discuss the unmerciful servant from Matthew chapter 18 verses 23 through 34. So spend a little time in the Word there this week, and we'll look towards gathering up around His Word at the same time next week on this particular Facebook site and this particular YouTube site. So let me pray with you, and thank you for joining us today. Father, You're good to us. Lord, help us to be able to understand the talents and abilities that You have given to us, the things that we thrive, the things that we excel in. And then, Lord, help us to understand how we can use them for Your honor, for Your glory. Now, Lord, we also understand that because You've given them to us, You expect us to be good stewards. And there will come a day of accounting when we will answer for how we manage the resources that You gave us, how we utilize those talents and abilities for the sake of the kingdom. And, Lord, I pray that as each and every one of us stand before You, that we will be able to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many." So, Lord, be with each and every one of us throughout this week. Bless each family for having been around Your Word today in this Bible study. And we will praise You for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I would love to extend to you a personal invitation to come join us for Sunday morning services. If you don't have a church home, we would love to call you part of our family. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you're familiar with the area, right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Now, our services start at 10:45 on Sunday morning, but we also have discipleship opportunities through Sunday school, through small groups. We also have a WANA for our children's age groups. And we would just love for you to be able to find a home where you can be loved and where you can learn and you can grow at Central Baptist Church. So I hope to see you Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week.